Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rush.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon show. Ben Foster joined us.
He did, yes.
To chat about life in an England camp. We also heard from Chris McCausland, comedian and Liverpool fan. We spoke about a visit to an island and whether you can go there or not, football related. And we had a bit of a chat about
didn't we? We had a nice time. Hopefully listeners did too.
Well, let's find out. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And I spend every hour now just trying to work out how to fit Grealish, Mount and Foden into my England team, doing exactly the thing that I criticise people who ring phone-ins and say, just get all the attackers in. And there's me just working on it. And
Jason Burt made an interesting piece today. And I think the key phrase in it, if I can find it, I definitely should have put a ring around. Now, here it is. He's talking about, you know, logic tells you that the teams that go deep into tournaments and do very well and often win them are built on a solid defence. And he said, but sometimes logic can be defied and sometimes a team should just play to their strengths rather than mask their weaknesses. And I thought, what a very good line. I know exactly what he means because we're not where we want to be defensively at the moment. And so...
Defenders.
I'm not saying completely throw caution to the wind, but the point he's making is most of what we've got in strength is up front and in midfield. So let's outscore the opposition. Oh, yes. Let's get on the front foot.
Ardiles as manager.
It will surprise a lot of teams. Well, it might do initially anyway. Mm-hmm. But you know what it means? Let's play to our strengths rather than try and add extra bodies, going three at the back and just trying to protect a defence that the feeling is probably isn't going to go all the way.
I mean, there's a lot of people say, and it's true that, you know, generally the expansive teams don't win the major tournaments, but we have gone into tournaments trying to be not as expansive. But we're not as good at being not expansive as other teams are at being non-expansive. No, let's be less expansive.
Strangely, I understand exactly what you mean. No, I know exactly what you mean.
And then I stress about whether it's better to come top of the group or second or third, as if it's an automatic choice. As if England can just look at one of those, you know, interactive wall charts and just place ourselves where we want to be placed. Because... that's how that's how these things work.
Well, Sven's been on the circuit. We had him today. It was very interesting. He was on Sky News a little bit earlier on. He's been doing the rounds. Apparently, he doesn't seem to be flogging anything. You know, I thought, what's Sven's flogging? But he didn't seem to be flogging anything. He just
got loft insulation.
He just thought he'd come on and speak to the media generally about England's chances. And he was quite bullish about them. But I think his point is a good one that Fletch brought us just there in the news. If you can get beyond that round of 16 game, if you can beat, which is most likely to be Portugal or France, then you are going to start believing. I mean, you think about it. We keep talking about, can we go all the way? We might not even make the quarterfinals if we come up against one of those teams. And there'll be no disgrace in losing to the winners, the holders of the World Cup or the European Championships.
No.
But so we may have to face up to that. But if we come through that and we win that, then I think we'll three lines start, on repeat.
Absolutely.
We'll start to believe,
why not?
Won't we?
And then whatever. I mean,
although it's not, there's no other good teams left to play. But we play Hungary in the final.
Once we get past France, it'll just be basically a cakewalk.
Just knock it about a bit.
Ben Foster, I've managed to book Ben Foster.
Good, okay.
So during this, while we were having this incredible conversation, my focus...
What time's he coming on?
He's coming on. He says, how long am I on for? I say, about
10 minutes. We get bored with him after that. 10 minutes.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Hope you're doing well. Is that good?
I don't know. It's just a bit...
Okay, perfect, says Ben.
Okay, perfect.
Was I a bit crawly there? Just like
you should have said. You should have said no more than an hour and a half, just to wind him up. Anyway, we'll have a chat with him.
Yeah.
But there's some other stuff I want to hear from the listeners on today, isn't there? They're based on news stories. The springboard are a couple of news stories you found in the papers.
Yes, yes, yes. So there are two stories. One is one is sort of connected to sport. So I'll lead with that one, if you want, which is a story about the snooker that's in the Daily Star. Mark Selby has been challenged to settle a debt of Mars bars. The reigning world champion once played Michael Judge, 45, for chocolate as a teenager because he had no cash. Dublin's Judge, who has regained his tour card 10 years after losing it. So that's a great story, isn't it? He says, I used to practice with him a bit, playing blackball games for Mars bars. I think he still owes me about three Mars bars.
Whoa.
So on the basis that Mark Selby owes Michael Judge three Mark Mars
Selby.
Bars. Mark
you called him Mark Selby.
That's what I put in the tweet as well. Okay, is he one of the Peaky Blinders?
Yeah, he's one of them. Tommy is. I don't know if Mark's one of them.
Do you remember that episode when he came in? Yeah. You don't see the pub. They're always playing snooker around the back.
Yeah.
Someone's being killed in the front.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well, he's East Midlands. Maybe he's part of the old Leicester turn. Part of the
anyway,
family.
Mark Selby owes Michael Judge three Mars bars. So it is small, insignificant debts that you hold over sports stars.
Mm.
Okay, so you know we're not looking for somebody owes me £250,000.
Yeah.
That's not where we want to go with this. If somebody owes, if a footballer owes you a quid, you know, like you gave them the money for a shopping trolley, or something like that, or just small debts that aren't even cash. That you know there are, you know, somebody owes you something. They lent you this and they never gave it back. Those kind of things.
Sure, I had a tale of something like
almost
that.
Certainly did.
I think it was like a football Good Samaritan story. I think it might have involved old mate Stuart Robson, who'd broken down in his car, and someone came up with a kind of can of petrol for him to get him on the road again. So,
somebody, Alvin Martin owns somebody.
Stuart Robson owes somebody. Yeah. You're struggling a bit with names today, aren't you?
Getting overexcited about the Euros. Trying to produce the show, that's the problem. Do you want the other one while you're looking for that?
Paul producer's not happy. He said, I'll go home then, should I?
He's got the biggest, he's the biggest diva of the lot.
Oh,
the
no, producer, honestly.
He comes in and yells at you,
Paul. I've not known any on-air talent as diva-ish as him in this building. And that is saying something.
A 90-year-old widower who has the same pub lunch every day has been gifted a £700 bar tab by strangers to keep him fed for months. War veteran Pete goes into his local each afternoon to munch chicken with a glass of red wine.
Wow.
The landlord of the pub posted the video on TikTok and it went viral and people have been offering to buy his lunch. He doesn't need the money. He's fine. He's comfortable, but it's a very kind thing. So basically the question is, do you eat the same thing every day? It's that simple. Do you know someone who eats the same thing every day? It's not connected to sport.
It doesn't have to be sport particularly.
It doesn't have to be sport at all. They are the two subjects I want.
Why is it only in a tabloid newspaper that people munch or chomp on or devour?
Don't get that in The Guardian.
I mean,
no. Consume.
But no one's, but it's always that sort of thing. He munched on three pies or whatever. I mean, no one ever does that in the real world.
Do you want a couple of these?
Well, I've gone there.
Russell says, my mate Adam only eats chicken and bread.
It's getting to that freaky eaters area, isn't it?
AJ says, legit, I work with a 35-year-old man who had a homemade peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch every day like he was six. Chris says, a guy I work with eats cheese and piccalilli sandwich every day and a tin of pineapple every day for the 12 years that I've been here.
He owns a tin, does he?
And Dijon Davis says, I once knocked Gary Monk out of a poker tournament in Swansea.
Mm.
He swore quite a bit, and his tantrum caused me to spill my pint. Gary Monk owes me a pint.
Gary Monk owes you a pint. Well, if Gary's listening this afternoon, maybe he can put that right. We'll pass on the details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Considering what we're about to discuss, a very timely bit of footage has just emerged, courtesy of the Evening Standard's Dan Kilpatrick. He's in the room as Gareth Southgate takes on journalist and broadcaster Carrie Brown at darts.
Right.
They brought back the darts.
Okay, from 2018.
Staff and players versus journalists. We went along and Andy took on Eric Dyer.
Okay.
And lost heavily, Andy. He just barely hit the ball, actually.
Wasn't he was furious and forever more hated Eric Dyer after losing to darts.
Wasn't his finest now. So that's one of the things, one of the ways they sort of lighten the load for the players. A little bit of darts. Harry Kane said they've got a cricket pitch at St George's. They hopefully have the golf simulator out again. They're going to be lots of barbecue so the boys can eat together. Just finding ways to make the tournament go by without it becoming boring.
Yeah,
so what is it like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's find out. Ben Foster was there in Brazil at the 2014 World Cup. Good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello, mate.
Does all this stuff work? I mean, did you? What was it like with Roy in 2014? Did it get boring, or did you find a way to get through it?
You do actually find a way to get through it. To be fair, they've always been good. I'm sure that it goes back years and years and years where they've always had kind of a big communal room where, you'll have your darts, your pool table, table tennis, all that kind of stuff. We were in Rio, and we had, luckily for us, we had a golf course probably 4 or 5 miles away. I don't know if that aided us or not, because we didn't make it outside the group. But but yeah, there's always plenty to do, to be fair.
In the games room, where did you migrate to, Ben? And who were you playing against?
It was always Paul. Like I say, you have a couple of tellies with PlayStations and stuff like that, and all the kids were, well, the younger lads were playing FIFA against each other, all that kind of stuff. But the goalies mainly played Paul, but obviously we had James Milner as well, Joe Hart, who were big cricket fans, so they were always setting up, like, we found a corridor very near to the communal room, so we were always playing cricket in there as well.
Is there a balance, doing anything too strenuous? I mean, a lot of golf, sometimes that's frowned upon from a player's point of view, in terms of, you should be relaxing, boys, you shouldn't be out there playing cricket and golf. Was that ever an issue?
Yeah, again, like I said, with things like the golf, the day before a game was probably off limits. The 2 days prior to a game was probably okay. Things like cricket, you wouldn't even risk it the day before a game just for the little run-up, the bowl, all that kind of stuff. So as soon as we got to within 24 hours of kickoff, everybody was basically, get back to your room. If you're having a bit of a massage or anything like that, fair enough. But other than that, you've got to be sat down and relaxing.
Do they have a bedtime? You're like 10 o'clock lights out.
No, I don't. I think just footballers in general, we kind of, you know how to look after yourself, you know what I mean? I'm sure everybody's different as well. If it's some of these young lads' first ever time away at a major tournament for England, the night before games, it's just going to be a bag of nerves, isn't it? So I do feel for them a little bit, I'm sure they're used to it in some sort of aspect. But yeah, it is a bit of a nervy one if it's your first tournament, trying to get sleep the night before a game.
It's like the idea of the manager knocking on doors. Yeah. Keep it down. I'm like, you got your own room as well, haven't you, at this stage? You're not rooming with anyone.
No, even at club football level now, they don't do that anymore. Everybody has their own room. I'm sure sort of for the last 10 years or so now, I haven't roomed with anybody, whether it be at Birmingham City, West Brom, Watford, no matter what. You always get your own room, and especially when England duty. Yeah, these pampered footballers, they need their own space, don't they?
Is that counterproductive? I mean, we've had some great yarns from sort of players here over the years who did have to room. You learn about the realities of football, some of the hierarchy. If you're in with one of the old lags, you're getting up and making the tea and making sure they get a biscuit. I mean, look, I'm not saying that's the perfect way to do things, but do you think you miss something by not rooming with someone?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think it's each to your own, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, when we go away on pre-season tour, over the years, we've always been away to places like Austria and stuff like that at club level. And the goalies will always room together. So, and I've always loved that as well, because most of the time I've had sort of another senior goalkeeper with me, whether it's someone like Boaz Myhill. I couldn't tell you the half the stuff we got up to when we're in our rooms and stuff. But we had a good laugh anyway, at least. But yeah, I do. I agree. I love it. I do. I'm one of those guys anyway that whether I'm rooming by myself or with somebody, I'll always find my way down to like the cafe or somewhere like that where there's a load of people where we can sit down and just have a chat about absolutely anything.
And like, not everybody likes everyone in a squad, be it a club squad or an international one. If you're away for that extended period of time, do you start to know that they don't like them and they never sit with them and they never talk to them, or and then they sort of gossip through the squad? Or is that something that outside of it we sort of play up and actually everyone's fine?
I would like to think that the current squad there's nothing like that. It's like nowadays everybody knows everybody with England squad through Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? They're always tagging each other, appearing at other people's birthday parties, all that kind of stuff. But I know for a fact that back in the day, like we're talking 15, 20 years ago, the old England teams, when it was like you had the big old Man United divide, Chelsea divide, Arsenal divide, and it was a genuine thing. Do you know what I mean? You'd have 3 or 4 tables of people just sitting amongst their own teammates, which was always a bit weird.
Did you ever say, come on, let's all get together, let's all have a hug? I can see you bringing everyone together, Ben.
No, at that time I was like early 20s. I wouldn't say boo to a goose, mate. I've got like Beckham sitting over there and Rio Ferdinand, Rooney. You've got no chance, mate. Just leave them to it.
I mean, it's something that Gareth Southgate and his team think an awful lot about. I mean, he was saying recently that he wants to make sure they all kind of eat together and lots of barbecue, make it very relaxed so people can just wander in and out and catch up with people. And, you know, they're trying to create this environment that they think is conducive to the boys being able to relax around games. Probably a lot more thought goes into it than it did years ago.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is just try and recreate that feeling of being back at your club. Because when you were back at your club, you're always relaxed. You're in every day. You know everybody. You know the dinner ladies. You know the chefs, all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure they're trying to recreate that. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was in England team, we had like Fabio Capello was the manager. It was like so strict. Honestly, I remember we all had to be down at dinner. If anybody was late for dinner, oh my God, everybody was sitting there just sort of, they were almost buzzing with excitement because they knew for a fact they were going to get told off. But then also there was a thing where he wouldn't let anybody leave dinner until absolutely everybody had finished dinner. So if you're the last one there sort of eating dinner, you're kind of just shoving it down you as quick as you can because you know you've got 25 other blokes just looking at you just say, come on, any chance.
It's always someone in a group who's a really slow eater.
Yeah,
as well.
Can you out the slow? Who was the standout slow eater? Can you remember?
I do actually remember one time where when I got down to dinner, so one of the coaching staff had grabbed me and I was having a conversation for 5-10 minutes and already I'm thinking, oh no, I need to like ram this food down me. So anyway, I get my plate and I'm sort of chowing down as quickly as I can. And I remember having David Beckham sat opposite me, so it was literally just me and him, the last ones to finish. We've got all the other group of lads looking down the table at us. I'm no joke sweating at this time. I'm sweating my back out thinking, just get it down. But Bex opposite me is the most bothered man you've ever seen in your life. Just sat there, just almost smirking at me, just to say what they're going to do, mate. He was effortlessly cool. But yeah, I was absolutely cracking myself.
That's so good. And what's the summer for you now, Ben? You're on the golf course now, are you?
I'm supposed to be warming up now. So if I have a bad round this afternoon, then I'm blaming it on you guys. Teeing off at 2. It's nice, really. I just mix it up a little bit of golf and quite a lot of biking and getting out on my bike as much as I can.
And how's everything looking for next season?
Yeah, it's fine. I think with Watford, I think they like to do their business a little bit later on in the transfer window. So we haven't really signed too many players yet, but I'm sure it'll all start kicking off when everybody gets back off holiday.
Brilliant. And England's chances at the Euros, do you fancy them?
Do you know what? I would like to be perfectly honest with you, with the squad we've got, it's almost a little bit sort of embarrassment of riches. Honestly, we've got that much of a talented young squad at the minute. As long as we go and give it a proper go and we try and do a bit and dominate teams and play some lovely football, I think that's what half the country's interested in, to be honest with you. If we're grinding through games, winning 1-0, penalties here and there and that kind of stuff, I think the fans will have a lot more to say. But I think if we show that we can go out there and put an attacking team out with the likes of people like Foden and Grealish, if we put them sort of players out, I'll be more than happy.
And finally, a keeper's appreciation of that Sam Johnston save at the weekend.
World class. As a goalie, that's like scoring a hat-trick, to be perfectly honest. On your England debut, you keep a clean sheet and then make a world-class save like that. I was buzzing for him as well. Because obviously, Sam, I used to be at West Brom and then Sam come in and took after me. I knew him from Man United when he was a young kid as well. So, over the moon for him. Really happy for him to make his debut. But to make a save like that as well, absolutely world-class.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Johnny has been in touch. I just wanted to read Johnny's message so much. I took a picture of Jason Donovan into my hairdresser's when I was 13. Too embarrassed to admit it was Jason Donovan, I cut his face out. But it was obvious who it was. My hairdresser couldn't contain his laughter.
Oh, yeah.
It's a brilliant message.
Wasn't fooling anybody. I worked with a lad who had the full Ronaldo. Brazilian Ronaldo, the tuft of hair at the front and everything.
That is so tremendous.
That is a bold one. That even Ronaldo regrets that one, I think.
I saw the idea of if you really want the Jason Donovan haircut, then surely you want the Jason Donovan haircut. You can't just be so, you're so morally conflicted about loving the hair, but not wanting
but
people
is that
to know it's the
of
Jason
going
Donovan.
Going in and them saying, I want to look like that, and they're saying, well, you know, I'm not a plastic surgeon, I'm a hairdresser.
George the Gooner.
It's just a tap-in, isn't it?
George the Gooner says, age 7, at the height of Beckham mania, I chose to go against the grain and asked for the Bergkamp, who at the time had a well-developed widow's peak. Cue an awkward look between my dad and the barber, who kept asking if I was sure. Luckily, dad told him to do something different, and I didn't end up looking middle-aged. That's a nice idea. They just absolutely loved. So you loved Bergkamp so much, you wanted to look bald. Imagine asking, you know, loving Shearer at the top when then there was the Shearer Island.
Oh, yes.
You know, like or the Steve McLaren
Island.
Oh,
McLaren
well.
Island. That's still
I'd like the McLaren Island.
People haven't been able to go there for over a year, of course. So you can remember McLaren Island, I think, is on the amber list. Some of the Martinez Island at the moment, I think that's... That might be on the green list,
okay,
but we don't know
good.
How long for. If you go to Martinez Island now, you might find you have to rush home before,
oh, terrible people
before
going,
your 4 weeks.
If you're going to change the rules for Martinez Island, right, give us some notice.
That's right. So it's just not fair, is it? You know, people scrambling to get off of Martinez Island on the head of, just ahead of the Euros. This comes from Fulham Dowster, who said, I used to work as a queue maker, and Steve Davis turned up for a visit one day while he was doing the round of the factory. Some super glue went missing from my bench.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's casting aspersions about Steve Davis. I doubt if he's still got it. I doubt if he ever did it, but it must just be a coincidence. Fulham Dowster, he said, it's gone, it went.
For small debts. Yeah, this is after.
Yeah, that's right. This was...
Mark Selby owes another snooker player, who I temporarily forget.
Three Mars bars.
Have you been watching Gods of Snooker? Have you watched that?
No, I've got it recorded. I haven't watched it yet.
It's really, it's fascinating. I sort of remember that time, but not very well. Mm. And just, you know, seeing... Alex Higgins and Steve Davis and sort of Barry Hearn sort of plan with those, not with Higgins, but with Davis and those other guys. He had Griffiths to sort of what roles they should play in the kind of soap opera of snooker.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of was totally fascinating.
Willie Thorne, Tony Meo and all that sort of stable, yeah.
D. Vinny says on the subject of small debts, I was in a busy bar in Sheffield. I was about to get served. I got tapped on the shoulder. Surprisingly, it was Reggie Blinker asking me. I don't know where to believe these at all. Can you buy me a beer? I passed him the beer. And he said, meet me back here in 10 minutes. I'll buy you one back. I never saw him again.
Did we have a... There wasn't a Robert Snodgrass one up here as well,
wasn't
there?
I can see that here. Yes. It says, after watching Leeds beat Manchester United in the FA Cup back in 2010 at Old Trafford, we all ended up back in Leeds for a few pints. 10 p.m., about 10 p.m. in a bar on Call Lane in Leeds, in walks Robert Snodgrass with Mrs. Snodgrass and brother. We had a chat and he was a top lad. He's a nice guy, Robert Snodgrass. I bought him a drink to celebrate, at which point he said he'd get me one back. He never did. Oh. He just went on with his night with no thought for poor old me. Robert Snodgrass, you owe me a pint.
So yeah, but then they've not put their name in it, but there is a phone number if Robert Snodgrass wants
to get in touch, we will pass you the phone number and you can perhaps arrange a meetup.
Kenneth said, I had the Gazza back in the day, spent an hour with my scalp burning, almost in tears, took a month for the blisters to go, and it was still there 3 months later. But, I mean, it was obviously a bit of... I mean, a proper hairdresser knows what they're doing. That is not the case.
DIY
you know,
Gazza.
It's obviously a cowboy that you went to, clearly.
Mark says, it would be a nice touch if Harry Kane went for the Jerry Francis haircut in tribute to our former manager, brackets, and possible next manager.
Yeah.
He says, perhaps if Kane stays, he'll do the Jerry
Francis.
He'll
go for the Jerry. That was fantastic. We'd make, like, Chris Borman's cycling helmet look. That would be good, wouldn't it? Mark Hughes owes me a pound.
Okay,
after I lent it to him to use in a Smint machine in a toilet in Chester Zoo the day after Liverpool beat Stoke City. That's fair. I mean, he's obviously never forgotten it, has he?
That's so
Dave
good.
Tully's been in touch. Hello, Dave. I once subbed Brian Ashton, the rugby union coach, 50p in a chip shop in Bath. I'll never see that again. Well, you never know. He may just knock on the door one day.
Mitt says, I lent Kenny Benjamin a scart lead when he was the overseas player for our local cricket team in the mid-90s. I've given up seeing that again, says Mitt.
Well, it's just different ways to connect these days. If he came back with it, could you use it? Try and find a scart lead on the back of a new telly. You won't, mate. I don't think so. If you've got an old telly, fine.
Jonathan's been in touch. We have an apology to make.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan says, as a man approaching island status, I think you're being very islandish. we do apologise.
Well, if there's any other islands you want to know, we can let you know. We've got the full list. All the managers' islands, players' islands. We've got them all. Steve Stone Island, that's gone now, hasn't it? But the old Steve Stone Island.
Was there an island?
Oh, yeah, Steve Stone had an island.
It was just a landmass, wasn't it?
I think Steve's island was, I think that was in
I think climate change had affected Stone
coastal
Island.
Coastal erosion.
Stone Island is a different thing.
Stone Island is a complete, yeah, Steve Stone Island is one thing. But any of the great sporting islands, or we can tell you whether they're in the red, green or amber.
We can, yeah.
Traffic light system, we're happy to help.
But, Simon Calder will be joining us later to tell you.
You can go to Steve McLaren Island. You can go to Steve's Island, but you will have to quarantine for 10 days.
A lot of it is booked up, though.
On your return, yes.
Airbnb on McLaren Island is going to cost you thousands.
They are talking about an air bridge to McLaren Island at the moment, but that's not definite, so don't book.
Another one of these crackpot Prime Minister plans.
Don't do that.
I don't know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now, making a welcome return to the show, is comedian and Liverpool fan Chris McCausland. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. So what's it going to be like getting back out there after all this time?
Well, I've been... I'm a bit under the weather at the minute, and I know this sounds like I'm moaning about nothing, the amount of work that, you know, people have been doing over the last year, delivery people, NHS and all that. I've done pretty much nothing, and little bits here and there. In the last 10 days, I've been out every night. I've done 10 gigs and 2 recordings, and my body doesn't know what's going on, mate.
Have you loved it? Because I had this theory that every comedian and every band would realise actually it's really nice to be at home at 7 p.m. and just sitting on the sofa, and we'd never have any entertainment, live entertainment ever again, because you'd all be like, why are we going out, why did we do this, what was the point of this,
driving back from Rio at 3 in the
exactly.
morning
exactly. But have you loved this 10 days?
Do you know what, I've in my head I've loved getting back out there and doing the gigs, but my body's finding it hard to keep up at the minute. With the staying at home, though, I mean, what I did is I really used the time, because I was home of an evening, to get back into music as well. And, you know, for the last 20 years, I've liked the same 10 bands that I liked.
Yeah. The same playlist on loop. I know how you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you just haven't got the time to be listening to finding new stuff. I mean, you can always listen to what you want passively, but you need to go and hunt these things out. And so I feel like I've used the year productively.
So what have you discovered, Chris, musically? Is there anybody out there that you should point us towards that you've found in this period?
Do you know what? I've just... the last couple of weeks been listening to a London band called Black Midi.
Right.
And if you were to ask me what genre it was, I don't know whether it's jazz or metal or garage rock or punk. God knows, there's a little bit of everything going on.
Punk jazz,
a box of frogs.
Punk jazz, according to The Guardian. Punk jazz. That's what it says here.
It's what people come to TalkSport for as well, punk jazz.
Yeah, that's we're known as the home of punk jazz. So yeah. we're going to, now the title of your show is Speaky Blinder, because
it is.
You are blind, Chris.
I am, you know, and the show title wasn't my idea. It was Justin Morehouse, who you'll probably know.
Oh, yeah.
Probably being on the show. And I mean, he knows that I don't like really playing on it in a kind of a cheesy way. And I also didn't want a pun of a film title for a show. And he phoned me up and he goes, "Hey, I've got a name for your show." And I said, "What is it?" He went, "You're not gonna like it." and unfortunately, I made the mistake of telling my agent and the tour producer, and they went, "Well, if you can come up with something better than that, you can." And I couldn't, so I got overruled on my own show.
Oh, so it's next April it starts. So, like, I mean, how sorted is it? Did you know what it's going to be about yet?
Yeah. So basically, I mean, this is the second time I've done this, Max. I was on this show promoting these dates with Charlie Baker.
Oh, with me and Charlie.
Just before.
Oh, right.
Was it yourself on as well?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Okay, yeah. And I just know Charlie really well from not that you're forgettable. I just know Charlie
totally
really
fine.
Well.
I am eminently forgettable. Sort of the generic vanilla presenter they just throw into any old show and no one notices.
Yeah. And so the show was written then. The show was ready to go. And it's been rearranged and rearranged three times, I think. So it's you know, I just need to get me mojo back, I think. But the show's good to go. And we start in April, which is it's going to be about 3 months, and we're going all over the place, really. So, and it's just a stand-up show. There's no I don't sing and dance or nothing, talking into a microphone. So. If people like that kind of stand up, then all the better. Come along, really.
You've done a fair bit of telly, Chris. I mean, you did a very good set on Live at the Apollo, I remember. But you've done Have I Got News for You and Would I Lie to You and QI and stuff. So, that obviously upping the profile must help in the old live setting to getting people through the door.
I'm hoping so, Paul. But the thing is that as you do telly, the normal way it works is you do a bit of telly, and as you're doing the stuff on the telly, you're also going out and playing clubs, and you can see if there's a slightly different reaction to you. I've got no idea whether people like me or not. So, I mean, I've been quite lucky over the lockdown. I've had quite a few things come in. I hit that point before all of this happened where I'd done a few things, kind of proven myself and was in with a lot of shows so that when we went into lockdown, that I was still getting a decent amount of work coming through from the telly. But all of that stuff I've done over the lockdowns, I haven't really, been able to assess whether the reception I'm getting on stage is, or whether it's, oh no, it's this fella off the show the other day.
Do you know what? Would I Lie to You? Would I Lie to You looks like the most fun. Some of them are like quite high pressure. You'd be nervous. You've got to get a good gag in quickly. Would I Lie to You just looks like the most fun you can have on a TV show.
It is fun, Max, but they don't give you a heads up on your lies. and they don't tell you what truth they're going to use. So, but basically the way it works is you have a meeting with them to tell them like stories from your life, and they might pick five or six and go, "We like these five or six stories." And they don't tell you anything about the lies. So you don't know when that card gets turned over, what truth you've got. So they could make it easier on you. That's what I'm saying.
Is it true?
Go on.
I was going to say, I remember reading a bit you did in The Guardian, and you said you walked into an undertaker's, but thinking it was the barber's next door, and the undertaker said, "Can I help you?" And you said, "Well, have you got many waiting at the moment?"
Do you know what? I've never done that on stage because it sounds like something I've made up and it's 100% true.
That's amazing.
And it's next door to the undertakers, and I went through a little phase in life because my eyesight deteriorated, and I was when it deteriorates you go through you're quite embarrassed or there's denial, do you know what I mean? And so I hated going out with a white stick, and I'd always hide it my first opportunity, and so I nipped into the barbers or what I thought was the barbers and quickly got rid of it and folded it up in my pocket, and it was completely quiet, and then the fella came out from the back and I was like, Have you got many waiting at the minute? And he was.
I imagine it's got a different smell, though, hasn't it? unless the barber says you want a bit of embalming fluid on that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the irony is as well. I mean, he could have probably cut me hair. He's probably a fairly dab hand.
Imagine you'd be embarrassed. You'd just go along with it, wouldn't you? Just sort of sitting there, bloating a top hat and a long coat, cutting your hair. So, Chris, we're quick on the football. I mean, you are a Liverpool fan, but I take it you look out for England as well. You're feeling. We just spoke to the guys at Paddy Power. Apparently, England had joined favourites to win it. Are you feeling that optimistic?
Do you know what? I think if it's ever going to happen, then this is a really good opportunity, isn't it? The amount of young talent that we've got at the minute is phenomenal, really. So I hope so. Do you know what? I mean, this is what football does to your head. I literally had enough of football by the end of last season. And by the time we got to the end, after that January, March period for Liverpool, where we couldn't buy a win, and then that last 2 months was every game's a must win, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I was mentally drained, and I was like, I've had enough of football. I couldn't be doing with the Euros. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, the Euros is on, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think we're all gearing up for it. So, Chris, good to talk to you as always. We wish you well. So, the tour's next year, but you're gigging around in the meantime.
The tickets are on sale now, Paul. And my website, chrismccausland.com, has got all the links, so you can Google it. But, yeah, it's all on sale now, mate.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we did ask earlier on, didn't we, about whether... it was Mark Selby, the snooker player, is owed, or does he owe 3 Mars bars to a fellow snooker player?
He owes
3 Mars bars,
yes.
Do the stars owe you anything? When I was 19, my friend and I made friends with a then Blackburn youth player, Damien Duff. And we gave him a lift home after a night out. And he asked me when I popped into a shop to get him some munchies. I got him 2 packs.
Oh, it's about 35p a pack of munchies.
So Damien Duff owes... what's his name? G-Dog 13 owes him 2 packs of munchies.
Well, I can tell G-Dog 13 that I've twice... I don't spend a lot of time with footballers, but once a strange bar under Centre Point walked into it, and Damien Duff there was with his family.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, I was, and I've told this before, was walking into the Wildlife Photographer of the Year exhibition at the Natural History Museum, which is a wonderful exhibition. Mm. It's always a picture of a gorilla looking miffed, amongst other things. And Damien Duff was in there as well, just looking at the Wildlife Photographer of the Year exhibition. Okay. So if you want to see Damien Duff, I would say go to the Natural History Museum. He's almost certainly there.
Do you want to do sporting coincidences? You're going to love this one. This
came from
a guy called Alf, who was an accountant and an athletics trainer back in the day. Mm-hmm. And he went to see West Ham play.
Yes.
And sitting in the 2 seats behind him, right? Him
yes.
His mate, sitting behind him, George and Henry Cooper, the great Henry Cooper mm-hmm. and his brother George, both boxers. George and Henry Cooper. So, George, Henry, yeah. So that evening, he went to the cinema with his missus, sat down in his seat.
It.
2 seats behind him in the cinema, London's busy West End, George and Henry Cooper both sitting there. Oh dear, there we are.
I hope he just turned around and went, didn't do any more than that. Didn't say, what a coincidence this is.
What are the chances of that happening? Yeah, well, he's dined out on that for years.
On the subject of this nice man, Pete, this 90-year-old who has chicken and red wine for lunch every day. Yeah. Someone pointed out, surely the big issue with this is he's having red wine with chicken, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's true. He's quite a statement, isn't it?
What do you do every day? Ben says, has been in touch to say, Tricker 87. Eats sausage and chips for lunch every day at work and a few times a week goes home and has sausage and chips for dinner too. So what is at least 10 sausage and chips a day. Gab Cancello, friend of the show, says a Granny Smith apple for breakfast and bread with whatever I'm having for dinner.
Anything. Even a Sunday dinner.
Like
what they call that thing they used to have, a trencher, where you didn't have a plate, you had a big piece of bread.
Okay.
That was a brilliant system. It's sort of medieval.
Okay, right.
But you'd have a big piece of bread and
this
you'd eat
in the
off
olden days.
Yeah, you'd eat off
bread
the bread.
Would be the plate.
And the bread was the plate. So it's
was there a plate underneath it?
No, there was no plate. The bread was the plate. Get your head around that concept, mate.
So this is when you were growing up on the streets there in Bristow.
No, not
you
me.
You didn't have plates.
No, I said it was medieval. But this it was called a trencher, wasn't it? And they used to eat off of the bread because it soaked up all the juices. Mainly they were eating great big hunks of meat and stuff. They weren't having, they weren't having soup.
Okay.
That would be a difficult business.
That would be tricky, yeah.
Anyway,
something to think
you're
about,
learning
isn't it?
Stuff on this show, aren't you?
Who knew Paul grew up in such a world?
I didn't grow up in that world, but my ancestors did. But I thought it was a good idea. It was a good idea. Yeah. I'm surprised they moved onto the world of plates. Anyway.
Plates, are they all out?
Yeah,
Adrian, we're taking your calls on that.
Plates, let's go back to bits of bread.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 1. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.